Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another Fandor video podcast. This is a really exciting episode for us because I've been writing to Disney and Pixar for 6 months, and they finally said yes, so here we go. Welcome, Chris Kelly.
Hey, who?
Welcome, Bryn.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good to be here. And we have a very special guest. All of our guests are special, but this one's extra special. Her name is Domi Shi, and she directed Turning Red, but she was also one of the writers. Welcome, Domi.
Yeah.
Welcome. Good to be here.
You're at the San Francisco Zoo today, right?
Yes.
What are you doing there?
What am I doing? Yeah, what am I doing at the zoo? I'm doing the red pandas. They're going to name one of the red pandas after our protagonist in Turning Red, May Lee.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. I was very distracted by how cute the red panda was in the background, and I couldn't really focus on it. Any of my interviews, because I was just like,
listen, if you need to daydream during our interview too, we give you permission. You don't even have to be present for this one either.
I'm in an empty room. There are no
so there are no distractions. So the pandas are a lot more animated than Steam Dumplings. Bao, a film that I absolutely loved. So thank you for bringing that to the world first. But I'm very excited to see this one.
So Domi, yeah, along those lines, as Chris was saying, how was this story born? Because you not only directed it, you're one of the writers. Where did this idea come from?
Yeah, so back in 2017, I was just finishing up promoting Bao, and Pixar asked me to pitch 3 ideas for a feature film, and Turning Red was one of them. But all 3 of my ideas were coming of age stories revolving around teen girls, because that was just a genre that I love, and I was just really passionate about telling that kind of a story. But Turning Red was the most, I think, personal, and I think the weirdest, because I pitched it as just a Chinese-Canadian girl going through magical puberty. And that's what drew Pixar to it. They were very intrigued by that premise, and they'd never seen anything like it before, and I think that's what made them kind of lean into it. And I think, Turning Red is kind of just me working through my own experience and memories of that time, that that awkward, embarrassing roller coaster of emotions of being 13, of going through big bodily changes, of fighting with my mom every day. And I think that's what...
I didn't realize you were a part of Bao. I want to let you know that I watched that with my daughter nonstop all the time. And I look forward to watching Turning Red as well.
It's utterly fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm very, very much looking forward to this one. So
thanks so much. Yeah, Bao's kind of like the appetizer to Turning Red.
Similar. Wow. Chris and Bryn, I had no idea you were such a fan of Domi. This is incredible.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, talking about you at 13 and so much of this being based on you, you have a subplot in this film, and it's not to give away too much, but it has to do with a boy band. Mm-hmm. And who did you like when you were 13? Who did you listen to back then?
Who did I listen to? I mostly was an NSYNC girl. Mm. But I mean, that's where the autobiographical nature of the movie kind of stops. I wasn't a huge boy band fan at the time, but I remember that age just being so obsessed with one thing, and me and all my friends would be obsessed with that one thing, and that was the energy that kind of inspired May and her friends being obsessed with Four Town in the movie. But I guess my Four Town when I was 13 was Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And just like, I remember just being so obsessed with the book series and the actors, and me and my friends would like draw fan art and like read fan fiction on the internet. And like, that was the glue that held me and my friends together. And that was kind of that thing that I wanted to replicate with May and her friends and Four Town in the movie.
Well, you guys are Pixar. You guys are Disney. There's nothing you don't have access to. Did you at any moment say, I'm going to call Justin Timberlake? Put him in this movie.
I mean, we sent the invite out for the premiere, but none of them came.
Oh, my God. Like,
come on. This will be a fun throwback. Come on, guys.
Nice.
Okay, listen. I know you don't want any advice, but I'm just going to give you some.
Aww.
For the next film, put him in. Put Justin in, and then he'll be at the premiere. What do you think of that idea?
I mean, I was more of a JC girl.
Interesting. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely give him a call because I think he has like a teen daughter too. So I was also like, come on, JC, bring your daughter, bring your family to the premiere.
Right.
Very nice.
All right. So Pixar movies have a lot of Easter eggs. Can you tell us what to look out for in Turning Red?
Yeah. We have all the classic Pixar Easter eggs in the movie. We have the Luxo ball, the A113 logo somewhere. We have the Pizza Planet truck. We also, so every film gives a shout out to the next film. So we have a Lightyear Easter egg somewhere. Nice. We have a couple Easter eggs referencing some Pixar Spark shorts like Pearl and Burrow. Yeah, so watch it a couple times and you'll see all of them.
All right. So I want to know a little bit more about you personally. You're a storyboard artist as well as a director and a writer. You do everything. There's nothing you can't do. We know. But has there ever been a desire to create work for an art gallery? Has that idea ever crossed your mind?
Oh, no. I mean, well, my dad is a fine artist and he has several paintings in an art gallery. I just feel like, I think because of the nature of storyboarding over the years, like I've just gotten used to spending like at maximum like 30 minutes on drawing. Yeah. That like, I don't know if my brain, I don't know if I can like refine and work on a single piece of art for that long anymore. And I feel uncomfortable with people looking at my art for a long time and kind of like, you know, like staring at it in a big empty room and like looking through every single little brush stroke. Like that horrifies me. I kind of prefer like moving images, like moving drawings. I guess that's why I'm more into.
It's not the Ferris Bueller Chicago Art Museum inspection of the Surratt or anything like that.
No, that's horrifying.
you can put them all up as NFTs now. You can put the storyboards up as NFTs. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh God.
That's why Chris is such a great entrepreneur. That's a great idea. talking about Ferris Bueller and other movies, I read that one of your favorite movies is Mean Girls.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I just love, it's so funny and so quotable. And I think it really captured this like wild animal kind of nature of teenhood and adolescent world and high school world, like with the cliques and how, you know, how like girls and teens can like act and behave and all of the like negative and positive aspects of that. It's just so funny. It's just, I mean, that's the main thing. It's just so funny. And it has like one of the best villains in a movie, like Regina George
is outstanding. And, you know, I like the darker version of that in Heathers a little bit more than Mean Girls, but Mean Girls was quite good.
Yeah. Heather's just like takes it so far. It's like funny too, but it like it's just something so
but extraordinarily dark in a way that Mean Girls wasn't at the end, right?
Yeah. That's true.
That's all right, so what's next for you? Are you allowed to like let the cat out of the bag on our incredible interview?
Let with the him? Panda out of the, of the girl cage.
What's next? Sleep? No.
Well, hold on. Along the lines of sleep, let me ask you: what's the longest marathon session you've done storyboarding? Were you just? Was there ever a day where you worked like 18 hours straight or 15 hours straight?
Oh, like on this movie or just
no one when maybe when you were paying your dues back in the day?
Oh yeah. I remember I remember having to like, well, I don't know if I should even say it, but
I remember
working pretty late and then like having to come in at like 6 a.m to like finish up a sequence.
Hold on, you just sugarcoated that story. What really happened? Come on, give us the truth.
Well, storyboarding, making movies is hard. And when you're in crunch time, there's like moments in the in all movies where like you hit crunch time and you're given like, you know, 3-4 pages of a script to board in like a day or 2 days and stuff. And that's kind of where I learned to like draw really fast and loose. And also the reason why I can't do an art gallery now is because like I used to be able to draw like beautiful hands, but then I kind of had to draw like cauliflower hands because we were just working so fast. And I don't know, I think like the quality of my drawings have just gone down over the years because of like speed and efficiency. But I think overall, like I got better at like just like filmmaking and like seeing the bigger picture. But Chris, I can't do hands anymore, which is very sad.
Hold on. Chris, Bryn, I'm going to translate what she just said.
All right.
She had one night where she worked for 20 hours straight.
No.
And then she slept for about 4 hours, went back to work, did another 18 hours, slept for 6 hours, and then she did another 16 hours. Is that right, Domi?
What? I don't know right exactly, but there were some long nights and early mornings. That's all I'll say.
Okay. All right. So you referenced sleep. Are you about to go on vacation? And if so, where are you going?
Oh, I don't know. I'm supposed to take time off. Like that's like the normal thing to do after you finish a movie is like take time off. I just don't know how to relax anymore.
Do you like massages?
Sort of, but I also just feel like, I don't know. Like I'm kind of like, am I crazy? Well, I just get this feeling that I need to keep working to have like a sense of self-worth and I need to get over that.
Oh, bask in the glory of getting.
I have to bask. Yeah. And I need to learn how to bask and relax and be in the moment and not just think about like, what can I do next? So.
All right. Well, let's just end with this. What's your hope? What do you want people to walk away with after watching Turning Red?
Yeah, you know, my hope is that people, you know, learn to kind of embrace the messiness of life, of growing up, and that you never really stop growing up. That everyone can kind of, you know, feel motivated to like let out their inner pandas kind of.
Well, with an 11-year-old girl at home and a 13-year-old boy, I'm looking forward to watching this with them and letting them kind of soak it all in.
Nice. Yeah. Let me know what they think.
Everyone, let your inner panda out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Let it out.
Well, Domi, normally I end with, because we do so many independent films, I say, tell us your website. How can people get in touch with you? But I have a feeling you don't have a website and there's no
Disney
way.
Disney Plus, baby.
Oh, yeah, Disney Plus. You can find me on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Domi Shi. I post doodles sometimes.
Awesome.
Nice. My gallery. That's my art gallery is my Instagram. But.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, that's great. All right, Domi, thank you so much for your time. Wish you nothing but the best. Your film is so good. It's so charming. And I can't wait for whatever you end up doing next.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.